Pro tip, never buy a car from a BMW from a dealership in the Bronx. Just put it out there.
What did I say about the Bronx? What did I say?
Easy. We know about the Bronx.
We do have people tuning in from the Bronx, please. Welcome back to our podcast. This is Next Stop Africa, episode 8. My name is Benita, and I'm the host of the show tonight. Unfortunately, your favorite host, Emmy, has decided to abandon us and he's not going to be with us today. So to start with, we do have our one and only Luden from Puerto Rico.
Snaps.
Yes. We also have Malik. Malik is from South Sudan, but also representing Kenya because that's where he's living right now. And we do have a special guest, Janelle. Janelle is coming in representing St. Lucia. Welcome.
Thank you.
A lot has happened since last episode, which was on giving back and the holiday season. If you haven't listened to it, please make sure you go back to listen to it. So this is Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. There's a weekend going on in the Black community. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's a special weekend. Do y'all know anything about it? January 17th?
MLK Day. Yeah.
I was thinking about like a gifting holiday, like another Christmas or something. I was like, I know Three Kings. That's really popular for Hispanics. I was like, maybe that.
No, it's MLK weekend. I feel like we need to also try to learn about the Black community holidays so that we can be a part of it. But one of the sad stories that happened over the holiday season was on January 9th, when there was a fire in the Bronx, which affected our people, the Gambian community. We do really send our condolences and comfort and prayer to these people who have been affected. It wasn't easy. A lot of people lost lives and others were injured. And it caused a lot of devastation, especially losing loved ones right after holidays. And especially in the COVID era where there's a lot of troubles already happening. Mental health is at the highest. Financial instabilities. So that's why we're calling upon anyone according to their capability. Please go on our page and check out the link to be able to start donating and supporting their community. And also, even if you can't afford to give money, you can give by sharing the post so that we can spread the word. When we were talking about in episode 7 about giving back, we did speak about different forms of giving back. And this is where we have now to come through and actually put what we preach into action. So, yeah.
Yes. I just got to update the website. The website will also have it. So feel free to check that out and kind of help out. Last time I checked, I think their goal was $100,000 or $200,000, and they're right now like $997,000. So they're almost at $1 million.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. We thank God and we thank everyone who has been giving and sharing the information. Do you guys have any interesting story, anything happening in your lives?
In fact, I do. So I went into Target to buy one thing, and Target being Target, I came out with 20 different bags and $300 in debt. And when I was walking by, I noticed there was a little peculiar stand. Much more of a stand. It was more of a section where it was dedicated to Black History Month. And I was like, oh, damn. I was like, I know that's in February, but we celebrating early. Okay, Target, I'll see you. I go to the section. And I'm seeing all these crazy, awesome, good-looking stuff, like sweaters. I'm talking about, like, the garments. Water bottle that I have here with me right now, it's all Black water bottle that says Black 365, unapologetically Black and proud, and all the Black fonts are in this like very like formalized kind of silver kind of color. It is amazing. It was great. It wasn't crazy expensive, and it was all from black-owned businesses. And they actually like had like a picture of like all the businesses that they were that these people that the products are coming from. So that was really awesome. And I was like, okay, Target. I see you. Hashtag Target sponsor us. I see you. So I thought that was really cool.
No. I saw the picture when you say when you sent it. It was really amazing. I will have to check the tag. Wooden, did you just say Target or Walmart?
A Target girl.
Some reason all this time I've been thinking it's Walmart we're talking about, but
Walmart would never do something like that. Target, on the other hand, listen, Target was the only one during the whole George Floyd thing to actually like send out an email, because people are like, oh my god, how can you be destroying Target? This is that Target it came straight from Target CEO, literally said, I can care less about the dang store. I don't care if they break it. What I care about is about civil rights and all that. And he was like listening out. I was like, you go. Yes, oh, man. Yeah. Yes, okay. Sir.
Yeah, I would definitely check Target. It's right next to me. So
it's only $10. I'll put it in our Instagram. You'll probably want to see like maybe two or three pictures. Although often I'll put it. So
yeah. Janelle, any interesting story?
I mean, I just came back from a trip back home to St. Lucia. I was there for a couple of weeks, and it was so refreshing to say the least. It was one of those trips where I think because of Corona and all that, there's not as many social activities to do. And a big part of going to St. Lucia is the parties, especially around that time of the year. My birthday is on December 24th, and there's always this like this big fete that happens. But they didn't have it this year. But like, I try to work around that, and I was actually really happy with how it turned out, because it forced me to spend more time just exploring my island, you know, just discovering places like little rivers, little coves, little beaches. Like I went looking for cliff jumping spots, little things that, you know, you live in a place for so long, and then it's touted as one of the most beautiful places on earth. And I think, you know, seeing it with like, I kind of saw it with tourist eyes for the first time, you know, just like getting to appreciate the beauty of things. And so St. Lucia is famous. If you just Google St. Lucia and go to images, go over to the image tab, the first thing that always pops up is like our heritage site, which is the Pitons. So the Pitons are like these two mountains that just like look so beautiful. It's just like a visually stunning phenomena. Like, but they're the famous landmark of St. Lucia. And there's two of them. One of them is called Gopiton, and it's kind of easy to climb. It's like a straight, like walking upstairs. But the other one, Piti Piton, which is, it's crazy. I did the climb this time. And let me tell you, I'm not kidding when I almost lost my life like three times. Because it's like a sheer cliff. There's parts where you have to, I'll show you all the videos later or something. But there's a part where you have to like climb under a rock and squeeze through another one and then hold on to a rope. And then if you look back, it's like, no, you don't do that. Don't do it. Because it's like, you look back and you just see, it's just blue ocean. I was like, yeah. So I did that. I think that was the most challenging part of the trip, but the most rewarding, because the view, once you get to the top, you have a like 360 view of the whole island. Like you could see, actually you can see so far as the island to the north, which is Martinique, and the island to the south, which is St. Vincent.
Wow.
So I think it was a once in a lifetime type of climb, because I want to keep my life. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I will have to go up there too.
Yeah, St. Lucia 2023. Yeah. All right.
Yep. I know someone, cough, Amy, would love to go for other reasons.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We have to go when it's like you can do everything. Yeah. Now, I would love to bring people there when, you know, everything, like you could experience it fully, like all the culture, all the experiences, all the events as well. And mix in the natural as well, because it's a two sides of it. There's like there's a culture, and then there's the sheer natural beauty of it. So yeah, hopefully one day you guys can all experience that.
Definitely.
For sure. Malik, how's it going? What you got going on? What's been happening?
Well, Honestly, things have been pretty mundane since the beginning of the year. But I'm not complaining. But I guess it was exciting visiting a few places over the holidays. It's kind of funny how many Africans don't explore their own continent. So it was really fun visiting the coast of Kenya and getting to see Fort Jesus. Vineta, you probably remember learning about that in history class, right?
Yeah.
Fort Jesus, built by the Portuguese, right? That was, I think, in 1593, and it was carved out of stone. You guys should look it up. It's a really beautiful place. It's one thing learning about it, but it's a whole other thing experiencing it in person. So that was really fun for me.
Wow, that's good. I'm glad you guys had fun. And Luden, pleasing surprise at Target. Those are all good stories. Anyway, we do have the money police here. So to jump into our topic of today, which is how to become financially savvy. And I would like to take this time to really thank our viewers and supporters who are the ones who initiated this idea that we should talk about money. And kudos to Emmy who made this happen, because he listened to your cries, he listened to your request, and we're here to deliver.
But he's not here.
We're here, so he's here in spirit. So today we're going to be talking about money. How can we grow dollars? Or if you use pounds, we can also talk about that. And how to get into stocks as a starter, how to save better. And this is because we have a person who is really good at it, Mr. Jonelle. And he's going to lead us through a lot of these things that we basically don't know most of the time, but are key important if you want to become rich or even be just financially stable, right?
No, that's a good point. Yes, not everyone even wants to be rich, but you definitely want to be financially stable at the very least.
Yeah.
And thank you Benny for the introduction. Just a little bit about my background in terms of finance. I did study chemical engineering at school, but I did a minor in economics, and a lot of my focus was on finance. Back then, I thought I wanted to be some kind of stock trader, mega millionaire. It didn't turn out that way, at least not yet. But I have some time. Yeah. But more recently, about maybe three, four years ago now, I got into some work developing an algorithmic trading system, which is basically just using code to handle your trading activities. And in developing that system for myself, it forced me to learn a lot more in depth about how, you know, just how money works in general. So that was how I kind of jumped into that. More recently, on my personal journey, I started a business at the end of 2020. And so just combining, so there's business finance and there's personal finance. There's an overlap between the two. There's definitely things you can learn from the business world for your own personal finances. Basically, that's how I got into finance, and I hope to be able to teach you guys. I don't want to really get into the nitty gritty of like, okay, buy at this point if you see this signal. I don't think that's not really what's going to be helpful. I think the most helpful thing for most people is just getting your mindset straight. So there's two things I think. You need the mindset and then practical knowledge. So I want to try to address both a little bit here. And if you guys have any questions about anything I say, please stop me if I'm not making sense. Sometimes I ramble. That's fine. But just to get right into it, I think there's five basic pillars of like personal finance. And in order of importance, it's like how much you earn, how much you spend, managing your borrowing, which is like your credit, basically, and then protecting what you earn. And then last, actually, is like you think about investing and like growing your money and saving. So a lot of people, just the first thing they want to think about is how do I invest? How do I make more? How do I grow my money? But if you're neglecting the other four of the five, you're missing 80% of really your financial situation. So I think first and foremost, you have to think about how much money is coming in, you're earning. And of course, that with that comes like thinking about your what your goals are. So Ludin, I think, was saying, you know, we want to get rich, but you know,
I'm trying to live comfortably because
I'll be on Instagram.
People when they become rich, they go
100%. Yeah.
But that's not true, because most of the time is like we all want to be rich. Okay, let's say not everyone wants to be rich, but we want to reach a point where you're comfortable that anything happens, you're able to have money that you can be able to use for in case of emergencies, which have been a lot in recent years. Yeah. And I was looking into like research, because really the question of finance, like financial literacy, was not that like so much important to me. Like I never paid so much attention to it on how to do it. Because I mean, growing up in African community, most of the time, what is being told, you go to school, become a lawyer, become an engineer, and then you become rich, right?
They focus on the earning part for sure. That's how it was for me growing up too. I think there's a lot of similarities in the Caribbean culture where we don't really think about the other aspects of your personal finance. It's all about how much money you can make, which is important. Don't get me wrong. That's probably the most important factor, but it's not the only one. And hopefully we can touch on some of the others. So I don't know. I want to ask you guys a little bit, like, have you guys thought about what exactly what your financial goals are, like in a serious sense, like beyond just being like, because I be on Instagram too, like I said, I be seeing those the yachts, you know, you get caught up in some of that, but just when you really get down to it, like what if you could like snap your fingers and be there, you know, what's a sensible goal for you? Have you guys thought about that at all? Or
stop throwing so much money and stop spending so much. That's my problem. I'm such a very electronic geek. So I'm the one that buys the TVs, not the newest phone, because I'm not crazy. Like I'm not those people that wait online. But like, you know, if I see a couch, a brand new couch, and I'm like, just like, what was it? A couple of hours ago, I was gonna buy a new couch. I was like, hold on, do I really need this couch? I was like, so stuff like that is what I tend to buy, or buy a new headphones, or you know, buy a computer or something like that. That's my problem. So I like to spend. I'm a spender.
Yeah, for me it's like, okay, obviously I just started working, and there's other stuff that we're gonna touch on later, which comes into like I was talking about how we focus on like how much you get paid, but you don't know you have invested, which you're gonna touch on, like when it comes to like student loans and other things that have accumulated and all. So when I sit down to really focus on like, oh, what is my financial goal? Like, what do I want? I want to be able to live comfortable without worrying or what is going to happen. Maybe knowing that I don't need to think so much about when can I save enough money to be able to fly out. I like traveling. So I want to be able to, whenever I want to travel, I'm to go. That's my richness goal.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Malik, what about you?
Where to begin? I could say that my financial goals would probably be in a position where I'm able to make any purchase that I want. And I'm able to buy anything that I want whenever I want without having to worry about, you know, what's going to be left in my account if I have one at all. So also want to be able to, you know, give back to the community without worrying about myself, you know? So there's, I would say it's a lot, but for now, those would probably be the two main important things. Yeah.
Right. So the reason I asked that question, myself personally, I know I put a lot of thought into this, maybe, like I said, 3 or 4 years ago. And I came to the conclusion that, you know, there's different ways to live. We're talking about earning right now, that being the first point. But there's people who like are driven and they want to make, let's say they want to make $1 million a year, right? And they're willing to work 120 hours a week to do it if it takes that, right? Because that's the kind of person they are. And that's what I want to touch on is, like, first and foremost, it has to be, it's personal finance. And as corny as that sounds, it has to be personal to you. Like, don't just, like, take cut and paste, like, someone else's goals, someone else's financial goals and be like, okay, that's what I need to achieve. No, I thought about it for myself and I'm like, would I be happier, like I said, making $1 million working 120 hours a week? Or if I could just say, let's say I could scrape by on like 40K a year, but I'm working 10 hour weeks. And I have the rest of the time to travel the world and, you know, have time for myself and things like that. I feel wealthier if I have more time to myself to travel than if I have $1 million and I can't do anything. So I think that's the first thing we all need to do is sit down and be like, how much money do I really need to make to cover like what I really want out of life? And I'm really glad Ludin and Malik, y'all all said that. And even you, Benny, like y'all touched on things that are important to y'all. Benny, you said traveling. Ludin, you like, you know, electronic little gadgets and stuff like that. And Malik is like, he's like, I want to buy whatever. I just want to buy everything. I like that. But I think one of the things that really is important is realizing that that's your goal. That's right there. That main thing is not about like, I want to be a miser. I'm not going to spend my money on anything. That's what's the point of that, right? So if you structure your financial goals like around achieving that you put that that first, like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to prioritize traveling. For Benny, maybe she wants to prioritize traveling. So I don't need to buy this headphone this one this time because, you know, I'd rather take that trip to Costa Rica. Whereas it might be the reverse for Ludin, right? So that's the kind of things that you have to start thinking about, like, what is it that you want to do? Because, sorry, Malik, sometimes you really can't do everything. So it's like, you got to prioritize. And that's my advice is, first and foremost, is like, set your goals and set them like realistically, but you don't have to be restrictive. Just be true to yourself. Like, be genuine about it. And that just doing that one step will like set the framework for everything else. So now you have an idea of like how much money you should be looking to earn. And then, you know, if you have to, like, if your job is only paying you 50K a year, but you realize like you need 80 to be like where you want, you have to start thinking seriously about, you know, financial, like your career advancement or like starting a side hustle or something along those lines. So that's the first thing I think.
Okay. So I just want to present like a few statistics before like you go deep, so that we don't need to come back on this thing. I like the question you just asked us, because I feel like that's as much, like, as far that most people, especially like educated people, go when they're trying to understand like the financial stuff that comes in. But I was really surprised on the statistics when I was looking at on the internet, different like a website where they talk about financial literacy in America, where I was so, in 2014, America was ranked the 14th country in the whole entire world that had financial skills, which means the greatest countries is still really backward when it comes to financial literacy. And then they said if they had to rank it, to even give it a grade, it would have to have like a C+. So we're really doing bad when it comes to like learning financial skills. Most of the time we do have that idea like, oh, we want to do this, maybe I can earn this and then try to travel and save up and travel. But we really don't understand anything else that goes alongside when it comes to like understanding financial literacy. And I also showed that only 57% of adults were considered financially literate. And apparently there's this financial industry regulatory authority that usually issues 5 questions every few years to just look into how many people are getting the skills that they need in understanding everything that happens when it comes to like consumers' knowledge about interest, compounding, inflation, diversification, and bond prices, which are also important when you're not just focusing on your earning, because there's other things other than salary that can help you when it comes to your income, that you can help yourself other than just working tirelessly. There are other stuff that we're going to be talking about on how you can still earn more money when you're working less. And I was looking at these questions, and I'm telling you, Janelle, that's why I told you I'm really bad at these. These questions are down, and I could not even answer a lot of them. And one of which is like, if the interest rate rise, what will typically happen to bond prices? And then I was like, what is even that? You know? I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, the question then came out, it was like, why don't people learn more about finances? What do you guys think?
Well, I think that's a really multi-layered question. I think some of it is interest and some of it is like by design. That's my personal belief, is that I've seen both sides of it now, like as being like a business owner, like trying to sell products to people. You kind of don't want them to be too financially savvy. A lot of our financial systems, our economic systems are built around making people buy things they don't necessarily need per se. So I think a highly financial literate populace is not something that's high on the agenda for people who are who love people who spend frivolously, because the people at the top kind of depend on that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one aspect. Not to get like conspiracy theory or anything like that. I just think that's like a fact, that it's not in the top's best interest to get people to stop spending money. But also I think interest-wise, like you don't really think about it until you're in the situation. Like I think like you were saying, like when you're growing up, you don't really have any reason to be interested in logically that it's something you need to worry about, but emotionally it's hard to get yourself to care, like invest in it, because you just don't know what you don't know until you kind of are faced with it for the first time. Maybe the first time you have, like, let's say you have a credit card bill that's like over and you don't have the money to pay it. That might be the first time you're like, I need to get this under control. So I think that's another thing, is like until you get to the point where you're experiencing it yourself, I don't think you really care, really. Like that was my experience, at least. I didn't care until like I went through it. So I don't know what you guys think.
Malik.
Well, from my experience, and I guess school system does very little. Sorry, can you hear me? All right.
Yeah.
I was saying that our school system does very little to help or guide people, like in the financial sense. So I'm not saying that it's inherently the school supposed to teach us everything. It also comes down to the interest of the individuals, right? It's you to think of it as something very important, but it doesn't happen. You know, you can't just think of it as something that's important unless you're guided right from the time that you're young. So we don't really get enough guidance from the school system, from our parents.
That's so true. And you can learn something from a person who don't know who knows nothing. So that's another thing that I do agree on that. How about you, Lode?
So it's kind of a mix between the systemic design as well as the school. It's just a little bit of everything. It's just kind of like a little domino effect. One thing led to another, put it all together, compounded over time. Bam, this is what we kind of have. It's kind of a little bit of everything. It's just really honestly what it is. It would have been nice to know about it in school and stuff, you know. Yeah, maybe, you know, there would have been nice to have kind of like a home ec class, is what I think what they call it in some schools, and you know, just like basic life stuff. I think that they kind of took my answers.
Yeah, no, seriously, that is exactly what I found when I was looking into it. And lack of education was number one, because as we're all saying, it's not really like a class or like a skill that is overemphasized. Let's say, like, for example, everyone had to learn history, right? Everyone, at least, you know, a little bit about something that happened in your country. If you studied in the US, you know a little bit about US history. but we're having a lot of people graduating. Even myself graduated with biology degree, but really like my financial skill is still that low. And if you were to ask my financial literacy as compared to his U.S. history, maybe I know more about history than the finances, but these are like both important like knowledge that we all need as human beings if we want to strive to build like a better life. And when I was looking into the lack of education, one of the things that people were complaining about was, as you know, most of us get into average college entrance student is 18 years old, right? And the first semester you get into the school, what does the school bring? Most of them, they bring credit card companies, student loans, and none of them sit down to explain to you, how does the interest work? Or how do you manage to choose the better way? How can you minimize the loans that you should be taking upon? Because you can think through about, okay, the average earning I'm going to gain from this degree I'm getting versus the money of loan I'm getting to even take on that education. And also another issue being that most of young kids, teenagers, we're into like a lot of spending. You know, you're just getting credit cards to go out and party, drink alcohol, you know. And none of them ever tells you about, most of the time when you're like getting a new credit card, they're going to emphasize on make sure you just pay your minimum. But just paying a minimum amount of credit card is not even that good for you. You still like having a lot of interest that is accumulating, which is also brings up the compounding interest that I was talking earlier that we seriously know nothing about. Even myself, I sat down to really calculate a compounding interest of 2% over 5 years, and I was sweating. I was like, I'd rather go do calculus. Which is why I feel like having Jonelle as a member of the community who is educated and willing to really share this knowledge to the podcast like Next Stop Africa, where we have a lot of our people who are tuning in, people from these communities that are being affected and are really looking into like uplifting them. We have a lot of Black queens who want to become boss babes, being financially stable and all. So we're definitely going to tune in and listen to Jonelle, what you have to offer, and we can ask you questions once we become a little bit confused. Just bear with us. We're a little bit slow at some time to catch up on the money issues. I only know how to spend a moment, but I want to learn also like how to invest and earn. So you can take over, Jonelle.
Of course. So the first thing I want to say is, of course, I'm very happy to be able to give back, even if a little bit, even if I just like one person hears this and can make one change that helps them. Because like you said, one of the things it goes back to is like, you can't learn something from, like, we might say like, okay, our parents didn't teach us this or whatever, but they can't, like, I love the way you said it, like, they can't teach you what they don't know. And I feel like that a lot about, like, especially looking at my mother, like, especially on the earning side, like, she doesn't, like, there's little things like what she like might not even like register for her. And I'm like, yeah, mom, you just, but she never learned that. And it's a widespread problem. I don't want to say problem, but problem in our community that we don't really have like access to people, very easy access to people who can tell us. So sometimes it's really simple. It's like really simple tips that aren't, they're hard to implement because of discipline, but they're not complicated things. And the only reason I know a lot of this stuff is because someone else taught me. And it's like, if I can, that's how it passes on, is that you can teach someone else. So for me, I was lucky that my grandmother actually worked with, like when she came to the States from St. Lucia, she immigrated here and she worked as like a live-in nanny for like a CEO of PricewaterhouseCoopers. So just having that connection. So I grew up around their family and they were able to teach me little tidbits, not even just in finance, just like mentorship in general is so important. But when it comes to finance, so if we can provide like even a little bit of that, I'm more than happy to. So I think jumping right back in. I think I like going off of the pillars, just to organize it a little bit. So earning, I think earning can be a whole separate podcast on its own, honestly. There's so many ways to go about like increasing your earning from like in terms of your job and career. Just a quick plug, I'm gonna might have an episode on Rising Adults podcast coming up about how to talk about promotions. Yeah. And but you really want to be looking for a promotion every 2 to 3 years if you're on a career track. Mm-hmm. You have to be asking yourself, are you learning skills? Are you learning high value skills that can make you earn more money? Because in this day and age, like you could just go on YouTube and search how to da 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 da, and it comes up, and there's really good guides that cost you nothing but the cost of your internet service. And we're all connected right now. A lot of us, if you're tuning into this, you're connected. So go and learn high value skills that align with your interests. So yeah, and you can learn skills that are more related to your current career, or you can learn skills that you can use to make income on the side. But just ask yourself, are you learning new skills, and are you leveraging that to get raises and increase your earning? So for earning, it's like you have your career, you have extra income, and you have like investing, which we'll talk about. So that's it for earning. I don't want to go too much into earning, just because it's such a vast topic on its own. But think of ways to increase your earning potential first before you like increase your earnings. So make yourself more valuable and then provide value to the world, and then you'll get more money in return. That's how it works, or at least it should. So let's get to spending, where, you know, Benny is the master of spending. But spending comes down to basically that's what when you think of spending, the next thing you think of in finance is like budgeting. And but it's not just spending indiscriminately. It's not budgeting doesn't mean you're only buying bread and rice and beans, you know, not necessarily. Sometimes it comes to that. I'm not gonna lie to you. There's been some dark days.
I feel like I'd rather buy a bag of beans than 1 kg of meat.
You understand?
From both of them.
Exactly.
You know.
So, but when it comes to budgeting, there's some basic principles you need to think of. Like when it comes to your income, you take your how much comes in at the end each month. Usually, people do it on a monthly basis. So, how much are you making this month, and how much are your fixed expenses? So things that you absolutely need, which is like a place to stay, depending on how you like what city you live in, or transportation for like your work, and then there's food, and then there's your health, and then there's like your saving. And of course there's other things like paying down your debts. There's like little miscellaneous expenses, impulse purchases, and all that. You have to take that into account too when you're doing your budgeting. So this is just like a recommended like slice. So you want your housing to be like less than 30% of whatever your income is for the month. And your transportation ideally should be less than 15%. So those are usually, for most people, those are the two biggest like expenses that they have to take into account. So since most of us are working on fixed incomes, like salaries, most of us aren't like business owners or like have a side hustle. So you know exactly what your figure is for like how much money you're going to make the month. And sometimes you can't really control how much like you pay in housing. But let's say you're shopping for a new car, like your car payment, the transportation, the fuel, insurance, all of that. Like you have to think about the parking costs, everything like that. That shouldn't come to like more than 15% of your total. So as much as you like the BM, the new 4 Series, you might have to look at the Civic on the side instead. And you will, trust me. This is some Civic? Experience. Yeah, Civic is a good car. That's a good ass car. And the thing about it is, this is coming from experience. Like when you spend your money first on luxury, you don't get to experience luxury. All you get is headache. Luxury comes from like at the end when you're like already financially independent and you don't have to worry about it. Like when it's not like, if you're having to budget to buy a luxury item, you're doing it something wrong. That's the way I look at it. Like if you can't just buy it like that, you shouldn't be buying it if it's luxury.
That's so true. One of the like African musician, what was he? Akon. He's building like mega city, Akon City in Senegal, and he's somebody who almost said the same thing that Jonel just said. He was like, for his penny, he doesn't spend anything that is more than 10% of his earning.
Yeah,
he's becoming rich. Like he's doing so amazing, but I didn't really like sit down and think about like the 30% or like of your income when you're thinking about like your housing. But right. That's a good thing to learn.
Does that include, so for people who live in apartments, does that include, you know, because some apartments include electricity, water in that. So does that 30%?
So you want that 30% to be, you want that 30% to be if either your mortgage or your rent and insurance, if you have a mortgage, taxes, everything like that, everything that comes under the housing bucket. So like your maintenance, utilities, everything should come under like 30%. But there's some.
I'm not doing so hot then.
No, I was going to say it comes back to finances, personal finances comes down to like optimization and it's basically decision making.
And also there's like health and fitness is one that like a lot of people do not really budget for or take into account. But if you're looking to improve your own, like your health as well, like I know that's a corny saying again, but it's really true. I found in my own personal life, especially when the pandemic started, I don't know, like a lot of things that I used to spend a lot of money on, I realized didn't make me any like happier as a person. Like I sat here, like I was sitting almost in this exact spot and I was looking out like just across the river here. And I was like thinking, nah, I can't really go out. I have all these things in my house, but I don't like, I'm still kind of sad. Like, I wasn't spending a lot of money on going out or anything like that again. So like I was trying to save a lot of money, but then I was realizing that those dollars in my bank account, just pure dollars, really didn't make me happy either. So it's not just about stacking up money to the ceiling, but it's not about like spending indiscriminately either. So that's what we're trying to get down to here, is like making sure that every step of the way you're making sure you're spending money on things that matter to you and improve your life in a meaningful way. So I think if we approach everything with that guideline, it's gonna like finance becomes really easy if you really think about like how is this gonna affect my health, how is this gonna affect my health mentally too. Because if your mental health is gonna take a nosedive if you just stay home for 6 months and do nothing.
Yeah.
Right. You might save a lot of money. Really, yeah.
There are people who really live for the future. Like they're not having, I'm not saying like spend lavishly, like, but you have to live for the moment in order to prepare for the future. You can't just be like, I'm going to starve myself or I'm not going to do something that will take away the stress that I have because next 10 years, I want to be a millionaire, you know?
Exactly.
Because you might be a millionaire there, but like fucked up, like mentally, then you don't even end up enjoying it and then you got stuck here. So it does make sense about like considering your health and mental health as a part of your expenditure each and every month.
The reason I say this too is not just because, you know, it's good for you. It also, it makes it, if you're budgeting, you should include like leisure and pleasure as well in your budget. Because if you sit down and you make a budget and nothing on that budget, like is something that you enjoy, like you don't put any money for like if you love headphones, you don't put any money in there for the year to like buy headphones. What's going to end up happening is you're not going to stick to that budget because you are going to go buy headphones. It's just that it's not going to be accounted for in your budget. And that's where you start to get yourself into trouble. So making sure that you're like putting things into your budget, like making a space for like even unexpected expenses and impulse buys, because that's going to happen. And that should happen. Like that's part of life, is like, you know, make some money, like if you can't afford it, you know, but put it in the budget, put a little bit, like at least 5%. Maybe not 5%, but like at least 2 to 5% of your budget should be on things that are for you. So like entertainment. It's kind of hard because like if you put food like in the food section, some of us, like I myself personally, I get a lot of pleasure from like trying new foods and like eating.
I was just gonna say that. I was gonna be like, what if my pleasure is food? I love to go outside and my money's like $500 that goes into food.
Yeah, so budget for that. So food, usually the guideline is about 15% for food. That's groceries, like eating out, everything like that. But maybe yours might be 20 to 25%. Yeah. We're gonna make some changes. Just send me the spreadsheet. We'll make some adjustments for you.
Oh, I got a spreadsheet. I'm gonna send it to you.
Yes, sir. No problem. But that comes down to smart spending. So, like, the next topic I would say is like little things. Here's some tips that you can like do. Like everyone, it's simple things, but like just like comparison shopping. So like, not buying necessarily the first place you look, you know, you just shop around before you buy. Always use coupons. And every time I go to buy something online, I always like, oh, coupon code, let me. And there's a browser extension called Honey that you guys can download for Chrome. And what it does is whatever site you're on, especially if you're shopping on Amazon a lot, it will automatically find the best coupon codes for you. So that's Honey, and that's in the Chrome App Store. There's also an app called Rakuten. I don't know if you heard of that company, but they are amazing. They give you, like, you shop normally, like everything you would do, and sometimes like they will give you free shipping on certain sites, and they'll give you cash back. So like, for example, last week I bought something on American Eagle, and I got 8% cash back. So it was like, it's basically like getting a discount. The next thing is like, make sure which ties into another topic, which is credit. But if you can optimize your credit cards, and I'll talk more in depth about that later, but you can get like up to 5% cash back sometimes. I'm not sure, like, specifically for our listeners in Africa, if this particular tip applies. Because I know in St. Lucia, it's really hard to get credit cards that give you rewards. Just recently, it started coming out that like they actually give you credit cards that have rewards. But if you have a credit card that has a reward, you can use that for your main expenses, like your food and groceries, shopping and stuff like that. And then make sure you're paying it off at the end of the month in full.
Yeah.
So there's other things like buying in bulk, you know, setting up your auto pay for your bills, which is, like, sometimes you get a little discount for auto pay versus not. So, and sometimes like use the policies in the store, you know, like the policies that tell you like they will price match an item, like take advantage of that. So that's that for like smart spending. The next thing is like reducing your expenses. So once you set up your budget, you will kind of, sometimes it's really eye-opening for a lot of people the first time they sit down to really look at their budget and see how much they're actually spending on certain items. Some of it is like absolutely necessary, but they didn't realize just how much of their money. I know for me personally, like when I was looking at how much my like transportation costs come to every month, like, wow, like I didn't realize that. Like, you don't realize, like when you just go into the gas station and like it's 50 here, you know, 50 here and there, like you don't realize how quickly that adds up. So putting that into a budget, like really track it for a month, and then my advice is like when you're doing your budget, the first month, don't think about like changing anything. Kind of just assess first, see all of, like, you have certain bills that you obviously know you have to pay, but then like look at the other ones, like your food and groceries and like your car and stuff like that. Just actually calculate how much you spent, or if you want to start this month, you can look at last month's bank statement and then kind of like put it together. But a lot of times it's like eye-opening to see like how much you're actually spending. So some of these you can reduce, like some of it, if it's really bad, like let's say you're spending like 50 to 60% on housing, like that's probably too much. And you might have to seriously consider something like, I don't know, sometimes you can get a roommate if that's possible, or like, you know, moving somewhere else, because these are like drastic changes. But if you think about how much of your money goes towards those categories, actually, it's worthwhile to seriously look into how you can reduce those. So, you know, you have your recurrent expenses, you have like insurance and cable and internet, cell phone. Sometimes you can't reduce those, but sometimes you can. Like I am shamelessly a Cricket on Cricket Wireless for my provider because Verizon, that 150 wasn't, you know, it wasn't hitting right for me. And I now I have like the same exact coverage on Cricket for like a third of the price. So you can look into that. Don't worry, the girls will clown you if you tell them, but that's fine, guys. They will clown you more if you're sleeping on the couch on someone else's couch.
I have AT&T. I just can't leave AT&T. I just love it too much.
Nah, I feel you. But I'm not saying you have to do these things. I'm just saying these are places where you can look to like trim fat.
Yeah. You know, but the thing is, guys, let's just put the pride aside.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that you can do with once you have like your mind right. You're like, okay, for the next 5 years, I'm gonna, you know, take everything. And we shouldn't be really paying too much attention on what other people are gonna say about us, because in the end, you're the one who's gonna have to struggle earning that money.
Yeah, not exactly.
Because people are gonna talk regardless. You must still have that.
yeah.
Oh, you don't have an iPhone? You have an Android? They'll still talk. You know,
yeah.
Oh my god, those I hate are the that.
Like you can tune your ears and you know, and still like focus. As long as you have in mind, you're like, okay, I'm gonna use Cricket for the next 5 years. Maybe I'm gonna come back. You
might even come back. Never going back. Never going back. But that note, I love that. I love that because that's one of the things. Like I know in the beginning, I said the two important things are like your mindset and then the technical knowledge. So right now, I'm kind of like rattling off a few technical things, but the mindset comes into it a lot because on top of like being like personally responsible for trying to figure out, you know, what it is that you want to spend money on, I think like we said about the luxury, you touched on luxury items a bit, but that like show off factor is like what's really, really crushing a lot of people, especially in our community. And I wish I had the study to pull up. I should have found it because like when I read it was so impactful to me. It was an article talking about like why exactly in our community, especially, it's a problem. It's so prevalent that we tend to buy so many things we can't afford. It comes down to, I'll summarize it briefly. It's basically because we kind of lack our actual financial freedom.
Mm.
And it's much easier for us to purchase the symbols of like financial freedom than to actually strive to achieve it. So you can buy a Mercedes and have a luxury badge on your car, but you really can't afford it. But people see you in that vehicle. And because we're so, in a lot of aspects of our lives, we're like tied down. It makes it, we're more likely to try. It's almost like you're pushing against the system. So it's like, because we're so far down, we feel like we have to buy these things to make ourselves bring ourselves back to this level, whereas a lot of people who actually can afford those things, they don't feel the need to do so as much. So I don't know if you guys have experienced that at all.
Yeah, because I was talking to my brother. We're just talking like driving through DC, you know, some DC area is like ghetto, you know, and then we could see like how many like BMW, the Benz, like are packed in this community, and then you're like compared to like how many people are living in this poor community, they can't afford to even like, before you focus on like, oh, let me look into maybe investing into like saving to have a down payment. Okay.
Right,
a down payment on something like maybe like a real estate, you know, like a housing, an apartment. On average, even as educated people, instead of focusing on like, oh, I'm a graduate, let me maybe try to save and buy one bedroom apartment somewhere that I know that is going to, in 10 years, is going to be able to pay for a BMW. Our first instinct is what? I'm graduated. I'm going to get myself
buy the BMW.
You know?
Yeah.
But most of the time, these cars depreciate, you know? But a house will appreciate and even give you that car that you wanted. So instead of rushing to get a BMW once you're just out of college, you can be like, 5 years from now, I'll get it. But in these 5 years, let me maybe invest in something that's going to, you know, give
me. Right.
The moment you drive.
Black community.
Yep. The moment you drive out a car from the dealership, especially if it's a brand new car, the car already depreciated value by up to 50%. 50% of the car's value by the you just driving off the lot, yeah. Which is why a lot of people say if you want to buy a car and if you want to buy something new, okay, but buy a used car of that brand at least around 2 to 3 years is what I've seen and what I've heard from people. Because then at that point, number one, a lot of the bugs and fixes and stuff like that are already done. Number two, the car's appreciation value kind of steadies out 2 to 3 years afterwards, if I remember reading that correctly. So if you want, if you really got that type of money, that Audi, Mercedes kind of money, first off, props to you. Second off, at least by 2 to 3 years after. So like if you want like a brand new on the Audi right now, at least by like a, we're in 2022. That means by like a 2019 Audi or something like that, or 2020. So
yo, Luden, you've been looking at my notes, you've been cheating on my sheet, because I don't know.
No, see, I follow I'm really bad with money, so I follow a lot of money management TikTok videos.
Okay.
Yeah. To control myself. No, that's, and to make that's me feel really bad to stop buying stuff.
No, that's actually really good advice. And I think that's a good segue into the next section, which is after. So we have the five pillars, of course. So just to go over them again briefly. It's earn, spend.
I have a question before
you move on. Yeah. Go ahead, go.
Please. I have a question before you move on.
Yeah, please.
We've talked a lot about spending and budgeting, but what budgeting systems or advice would you give a beginner? I know that's a weird word to use, but a beginner. I've heard a lot of financial advisors say that you should use the 50-30-20 rule. That is, use 50% of, that's after tax, right? Use 50% of your earnings in, your needs. That's housing, food, and whatnot. Then use 30% on your wants. That's, that's where the reckless spending comes in.
Yeah.
Then maybe 20% on your savings. So what advice would you really give, what other systems would you really, advise people to try starting off on?
Right. So I think after tax.
Really?
So I think that's really close to what I have here, because you said like 50 to 60% on like your spending, and then 30, you said 60, 30, 10, right?
I think the rule he was talking about was the 50-30-20 rule.
50-30-20.
I think the actual, like what I have here, like is basically that, which is housing 30, transportation 15, food 15. So if you look at that, that's 60 right there. And then saving, I have 15. And then the rest is like, what, 30%? Math is mathing right now. So, but yeah, it's a pretty similar system. I think there's a lot of guidelines. Like if you just, I hate to say Google, but if you Google like financial budgeting framework, you just look for a budget framework, and then that will get you started. Again, like a lot of what we're trying to discuss here is how to take that framework and make it like personalize it to you. So I think that's the more important part is like understanding how to personalize it necessarily than like right. what the numbers are. But thank you for asking that question. I forgot to mention like one app that I found really useful for that is Mint. I know there's a few others, but I personally use Mint because Mint will tell you, Mint will slap the taste of your mouth and tell you, boy, what are you doing? But it also tell you like, on the other hand, it also tell you like, yeah, like, ooh, you like it. You did a good job this month. Like your spending is down in these categories. Like you saved more this month. Like you cash flowed this month. But just having that one thing, like just having that app. And if you do nothing else, if you just download Mint and connect all your finances to it, at the very least, you'll be able to get that alert when you're like, you're wilding right now. You need to slow down before it gets to the point where like you have huge credit card bills that you can't pay off. So, and there's also
this app, MINT.
Yeah. It's made by the same people that make like, the TurboTax app, and they have a whole suite of software. So it's actually really good because it like all connects together. So it can help you like put everything together for you when it comes around to like taxes and stuff, but it's completely free, like 100% free. There are similar apps. I'm sure you can find similar ones, but it also has like a budgeting feature. So it'll have like the built in, I think it probably uses like the 50-30-20 to start off. Like it'll tell you like, all right, this is about how much you should be spending on housing per month and stuff like that. So that's like automated.
You've suggested a lot of apps and a lot of add-ons that you can add to your whatnot, but it's very easy to mute those things. So what mindset would you really advise people try to take on, you know, in order to be more careful in their spending and whatnot? Mindset matters more.
Mindset, I guess. Yeah. I think keeping the goal in mind is like the first thing, like having a reason, like, why are you budgeting? Like, if you can remember to tell yourself, like, why, like, I think delayed gratification is a big part of like everything in life. Like everything in life that's good takes time and discipline. So just having that in mind, like, okay, I'm doing this, but it's not, I'm not doing this. Just reminding yourself that you're not doing it just to torture yourself. You're not doing it to be like a monk or anything like that. It's just, you're doing it because it will improve your life in the long run. And as, and when you start to see the dividends, it makes it easy, really easy to continue doing it. So I think just try it, stick to it, commit to it for at least one month. Just tell yourself, like, first off, like, I am going to do this. Like, I'm not trying it. I'm going to do it for a month. And then your habits will change. And when your habits change, it makes it easy to continue. I love the questions, by the way, Malik. But did that answer your question, I think?
Yes, it did. I don't know about the rest.
That makes sense, yeah.
All right. So the next section, the next main thing is debt, basically. And that comes down, that I like, that ties in with like what we're talking about with like getting your car and like taking out a loan and all that, like the interest that you like is crazy when it starts compounding. And there's two types of debt. Like there's like traditionally like quote unquote good debt and bad debt. So in my mind, anytime you're like taking out money to buy something that's like a depreciating asset, if you're taking a loan to that, you should minimize that as much as possible. But if you're taking out, like, if you're taking out a loan to get a $100,000 loan to buy a BMW versus a $100,000 loan to get, like Manny said, an apartment that will make you money, that's two completely different like calculations that you make. So first of all, is understanding like what is a depreciated asset versus what is a liability versus what's an asset, for basically. So a liability is something that loses value over time or costs you to maintain it, versus an asset, which is something that will over time net you more money than you paid for it. At least that's the hope. So when you're thinking about that, the important things is to also build your credit so that you can minimize your interest rates and maximize your benefits. And the whole topic again of credit cards could literally be an entire episode just about all the nuances about like how to start building your credit. But I'll give like basically a quick tip on what I did. So if you go to university in the US, even if you're not a US citizen, a lot of times you can qualify because by being a student, it's easier to qualify for credit cards. And even just having like student loans technically builds up your credit, but there's like introductory credit cards that you can get with no credit history as a student or a young adult. So you start off there. And the main thing, I cannot stress this enough, is to pay off your credit cards in full at the end of every month. Do not like treat your credit card as if it was a debit card. Don't treat it as if it's like a line of credit that you can use to finance things in the future. Yeah, but I think Benny knows a little bit about that, but the main thing is you get your credit, but the building your credit will do two things. Like I said, there's ways to use your credit card to put more money back in your pocket. So if you're getting specific credit cards that give you cash back on groceries or gas, regular spending, do that. Because every percent counts, obviously, but at the same time, you'll be building your credit. So when it comes time to make a bigger purchase, like a car or a house, you can get a much better interest rate that way. So you strive for excellent credit. It'll take time to build, because when you just start your credit, a lot of it comes down to, even if you've never missed a payment, even if like you've never like been late or anything like that, your credit score might not be super high because you don't have any like history of borrowing or paying back. So the sooner you start your credit account, the better. So I'd say if you can, if you don't have a credit card at all, and just try to go out and get one. Now, especially, I want to make this more specific to like people like who are listening from Africa. And I'll draw on a little bit like my experience in St. Lucia, because it's in that system, like a lot of places, it's still ruled by cash. Like in America, like I've gotten so used to like just swiping my card everywhere. Like when I was in St. Lucia recently, I was like, I was confused because I go to buy a meal and it'd be like, that's $15. And like, I pull out my card and they look at me like I have 10 eyes or like 10 heads. And like what is that for? Like, I was just going to, yeah. So sometimes you can't get around using cash, but if you can use your credit card and then pay it off at the end of the month, that'll go a long way in building your credit. Mm-hmm. And even that helps with building your financial discipline too. And that goes hand in hand with the budget. So if you're budgeting correctly, it should be pretty easy to stay within your limits on your card. But there's other things, like you said, like mentioning like your student loans. It's hard to give specific advice on like how to pay back your, like how to go around your student loans and debt, because that's just one of those things that it's so personal to like how much you're making. Like there's a lot of things you need to take into account, but the main things you need to be thinking of is what's more important to you is like, is it like having more money now in your pocket, or is it like paying less in total? So let me explain that a little bit more. So let's say you took out a $25,000 loan for your college expenses, just as a round figure. You might be able to pay it back more quickly at a lower interest rate, but then that means you're having less money to spend on other things at the end of the month. And you might end up paying like with interest, let's say you end up paying $30,000 over time, but you pay quickly, versus you might stretch it out a little bit more. So you might end up actually paying $40,000, but instead of paying that over 10 years, you're paying it over 15. So you have more money to spend at the end of each month, although mm-hmm. you're spending more over time. So that's the kind of way you have to start thinking about it. And what's more important to you? Is it having more money in your pocket to do things with now, or paying less overall? I don't know. You guys have any questions?
No. Okay. Just to add on to that, because there is one thing that some people should really like to consider, because there's so many things that you never know that might happen in your future, you know? Just to say that, I feel like if you consider like, okay, in the future, you're going to have more like responsibilities coming in. Some people maybe might want to have children. Others might start like, maybe your parents are going to be retiring and you're going to be helping and chipping. Like, there are many things that you should consider when you're like looking into like how long you should stretch your loan and what sacrifices you need to make at the moment. And when I was looking, they said like you need to pay attention to like your debt to income ratio, because mm-hmm. that also is going to affect like, maybe in the future you want to be able to buy a car or you want to be able to buy a house, like the debt that you accumulate right now versus the income you have is going to affect how the creditors are going to be willing to even give you that money in the future.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's a dangerous thing, the concept of like being able to stretch out loans, because I know, like, especially coming back to cars, because a lot of my experience is like with that. Some people will walk up to a lot and they don't look at the cost of the car. They look at the monthly payment and see if they can make the monthly payment. So although they might be able to afford the monthly payment, they're taking on such a high interest rate and paying it for so long that it ends up being, it's not actually a wise purchase. But if you look at it in terms of like your debt to income ratio, then that will like eliminate a lot of that problem, because like that's a fixed number. And that's actually really good advice there.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, to the car point, and the maintenance cost is a lot, especially when you get like a German made car or a Japanese car. The cost of it is it's terrifying, because they have to import it from that country/continent and bring it over here in order to do that part. Yeah. You know, not to say go for American made cars or anything like that, but like go for like cars that, like, if you can afford for stuff like that, that's great. But like, if you're again, not shafty Mercedes or anything like that, but like if you're driving a Mercedes or a Volkswagen, especially a Volkswagen, if you're driving one of those and you, and if it breaks down and you need to repair a part, it will be an arm and a leg and a soul for you.
Yeah, you're opening some fresh wounds there.
I'm so sorry. The only reason I know about stuff like that is that because my dad is like a self-taught mechanic. So like I was looking for a car and I was like, oh, what about this? And he's like, no, that costs too much money. Like if it breaks down, you're gonna have to pay too much. I was like, really? And then he told me some tips and tricks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I my first car was a BMW, and the thing about it is, like, I looked at the cost of, like, parts and stuff like that, but it, really the reliability is the issue. And a pro tip, never buy a car from, like, a BMW from a dealership in the Bronx. Just put it out there.
What did I say about the Bronx? What did I say?
easy. We know about the Bronx. We
do have people tuning in from the Bronx, please.
I was born in the Bronx, so I gotta show the Bronx some love. It's the most, the dustiest, dirtiest, most beautiful place on earth. We know this. Once you've taken care of like your credit, like, we're going a little bit quick here, but of course, like, this is just an introduction overall view. But once you've taken care of your credit, I would say one of the most important things of personal finance is before you start thinking about like investing, which is the next thing on this list, you make sure you put money towards like, prioritize paying down your high interest debts. High interest, I would say anything that's above like 3-4% interest, you prioritize paying that off first, because it's hard to make reliably more than about 5-7% interest on investments through the traditional means. Like when I'm talking about like less risky options, there's obviously risky measures that you can take. It's gonna net you a lot of money. But if I can put a dollar here and like basically if you have an interest amount that's 8% per year, paying that off is as good as making 8% on your dollar. So if you think about it that way, like paying off your debt is to your personal finances just as important as investing and growing your money. So the quicker you can pay down high interest debt, especially credit card debt, if you have any credit card debt, that should be your prioritizing paying that down first, because that will really go a long way in helping you have more money to actually invest. And once you get to the topic of investing, it comes down to risk tolerance. And that's like takes into account how much money you have. Like you should be investing and on your excess money. You shouldn't be relying, in my opinion, and that's just my opinion, you shouldn't be relying on your unless you're like a trader and you've done training and you're very specifically like, this is what you're doing. Like you're a finance person and you're like looking to trade. You shouldn't look at investing as a way to become rich or like make money, especially not quickly. You should look at investing as a way to do something better with your money than letting it sit in a bank, you know? So the money you have on the side, you should have savings and an emergency fund, but saving and investing, I like to put them together because they're like, they're two hands that hold each other. But as much money as you have in savings and your investments, you don't really want to think about touching that. So it should almost feel like the money that you have in saving and investment, it doesn't even count in your money. So like if you have $50,000 in your investment account and you have $100 in your credit, I mean, your checking account, you're broke. Like you have $100, you don't have $50,000. You have $100. Like that's how you should think about it. Because you should be leaving that money alone to grow, obviously. You shouldn't be like dipping into it or trying to touch it.
So Janelle, talk about you just said about saving and like looking where you're putting those savings. Because a lot of us the only knowledge we know about saving is the bank. I'm gonna put in my saving account in the bank. But there are different type of saving accounts like you can have in the bank. There's the one that you can easily access anytime, you can go make transaction and put it on your checking. Right. And there's others which I don't know how they, I don't remember exactly how my mom explained to me like the terminology, but basically it's the one that you say, okay, I'm gonna pull, maybe let's say I decide 10% is gonna go to this saving, which I can access until like at the end of the year. So like it's basically like locked in, and like, oh, I don't have access. And in the process of removing that money is gonna take you so long. So it discourages you from like that impulsive expenditure that kind of tricks you to go take it and put it on your checking. And there is also like other like saving stuff that you can do instead of using a bank. I had about last time I was trying to talk it to you, I can never understand how to say Roth IRA.
Roth IRA. Yeah,
there you go. So can you talk more about that? Like this, the saving.
Like where you put your,
where should I put my money?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if y'all know that Kevin Hart joke where he was like, he was at the amusement park with his friend and he was trying to do something too expensive. And he was like, well, you know, the way my bank account is set up, it's in the savings. I got to move it to the checking first. I can't really do it like that. So that's what he was talking about. Basically what you're saying is like, yeah, there's you can have a checking account, which is basically money that like it's like low, like let's say on your debit card, that's what you're spending. And then what a lot of people do is they would allocate a certain percentage of their if you're getting the direct deposit, you can like automatically split it so that a certain amount goes into your savings, which is a really good idea if you like have poor discipline with like your finances. Like you said, it discourages you from dipping into it because there's a process where you actually have to request to transfer it to checking, and I think sometimes there's like a fee, a penalty if you take it before a certain amount of time. So that can really help you to get started if you're having trouble saving. However, I think the interest rates that banks pay are honestly very disrespectful at this point, and I wouldn't personally recommend it. It's disrespectful. No, I got an email and they were like, is this a credit union that I use called PenFed?
Yeah.
And they were like advertising, they sent the email like a banner. It's like, oh, we pay 9 times the national average of interest. And I'm looking at it. And what do you think it is? You think it's a big amount, right? No. 1%. 1%. 1% interest, which is insane, right? That they're so happy to say like, oh, we're going to, they charge you like 4 or 5%, right? But they only give you 1. So that's a good point. I've talked like just in like 3 minutes, I'll talk about like better alternatives for like how to save money while making it like grow a little bit more with very like little risk. Because anytime you're talking about earning interest on anything, there's a certain amount of risk involved. So I think that's a really good segue, because I think the first thing when you're talking about saving and investing is the first and foremost is to have an emergency fund. And that's like something everyone quote unquote knows that they should have. It's like the typical advice is I think they say like 6 months of your income, it should be your goal for your emergency savings. But no one, you talk to most people and they're living check to check. Even if they have like extra money every month, they don't really follow that advice. And it's because again of mindset and discipline. But
yeah, that's if you can, I was looking on the internet and then they say on average majority of people don't have even 500
right
as an emergency fund. And I think I'm among those people. I mean, I just
yeah,
just because of you, I went on the internet. Usually I used to hear like my family, they're financial people, so sometimes they sit down and they're talking money and then I'm like so lost. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go learn about viruses, you know, that's interesting me.
Yeah, immunology.
But like, I'm glad that today, like yesterday, I had to sit down for like 8 hours just to like prepare. I was like, basically the internet slapped like every information. I gotta get my shit together.
Right. And that's a really common position for people. Like I myself, up until 3-4 years ago when I actually started seriously looking into it. And even while I was learning about it, I wasn't necessarily practicing it the whole time. I would say not until right when the pandemic hit and like I had that, I think it was a mental reset too. Like I said, like I thought about what I really get pleasure from, what was really important to me and all that. That's the only time I really started really put into practice a lot of these things that I knew cerebrally, like logically, I knew how to do these things, but I still wasn't necessarily, I didn't really have like any savings to speak of. Although like my earnings pretty good, but like I'd just be in whatever the spending.
You're an engineer, so you should start spreading.
Hold up. You know how New York is.
Yeah.
You can end up spending so much and indiscriminately that you end up not saving. But the first thing when you think about saving, I think before you think about investing even, which is not a sexy topic because like it's so much more juicy to talk about like investing your money and like you double it in 3 months and all that.
Yeah.
But you can also lose it in a day. And I am telling you that from personal experience, like you can lose thousands of dollars like that in investing. So if you don't, the first thing you should do is have an emergency fund. What that will also do is it frees you up mentally. Like you don't have any idea until you experience it. You have no idea like how much of a weight it is off your shoulders, knowing that even if like you can say, even if I lost my job today, even if I don't make any more money for like the rest of the year, I'll be good. Like just that thought allows you so much like mental space of freedom. Like you don't even realize you were thinking about it until you stop thinking about it. Like you don't worry about like how, like you have all your bills on auto pay and everything is good. Everything's a breeze. When you can get to that point, that is much better than like playing basically just trying to play the casino of the stock market first and foremost. Like that should come afterwards. Like that's like I'm saying, like when you have disposable income, and you have like, you know, you have some savings where like, even if you lose all the money, you should be able to lose all the money you put in your investments, quote unquote, and still be financially okay. And that starts, I think, with having your emergency fund. It doesn't necessarily have to be 6 months. It can be 1 week. Try to make it to like a week and then 2 weeks and a month. Try to make it so at least you'll be able to pay your rent, your three main things, rent, food, car. If everything goes wrong and you lose your job, try to give yourself at least a month of runway. Like yeah. that should be your first goal. And I think that's attainable for most. If you're a working person and you have a job, it's possible. You can do that. You can do that within like about probably 6 months, unless you have like other things to pay. Because in order, it's like pay down your bad debts, your high interest debts, and then try to start an emergency fund. I'll put that, like that would be my advice in terms of order of priority. First, pay off all your credit card debt, and then try to put at least 1 month aside, and then start from there, and see how much better you feel. And then you'll put more. I promise you, it'll be easy to put more once you realize like how much better that feels than like having a Gucci belt or something like that. But yeah, once you have your emergency fund, then you can start thinking about like planning, and that's like these are like. Thinking about like the bigger purchases that we like have to think about in life, that kind of like that, those milestones, you know, like your house, maybe your kids' college fund, like things like that, where it's like it's things like most a lot of people in your some point in your life you expect that you have to make these purchases, and it's something that you start like putting aside money for, so like the down payment on a property or something of that nature. After you have your emergency fund, you can start saving for that. And those kind of goals, like you have to start thinking about like how long do you think? Like, so are you trying to buy a house this year? Or are you trying to buy a house in 10 years? That makes a big difference. Like, how much do you think you're gonna need? And are you gonna do it purely based on savings, or are you gonna try to like use some investment strategy? Cause that could be a thing. Like you can, once you have your emergency fund, then you can start like playing with your money a little bit more in the financial planning stage. So
let me ask you a question, because some people might think I was this, because I say some people see like the emergency fund and then they're so, let's say, tricked or like impulsive into like, oh, maybe let me use this emergency fund mm-hmm. to do an investment.
Mm-hmm.
I might get something big. Do you think that is a risk people should try to avoid?
100%. Like Luden, you probably see this on Reddit all the time. I don't know if you use Reddit or not, but
I don't use Reddit, but Amy and Luden are trying to make me start going on Reddit.
Okay. No, you see this all the time. People post like, oh, I just lost my mom's retirement fund on like
some
bet. Oh my God, yes.
You see the worst things. Like people will take their money and like basically gamble it away on the premise of like investment. When it's just because they didn't go to a casino and put it all on black on a roulette wheel, they don't think they don't think of it as gambling, but it's really what they were doing, because every investment, just the, as long as you're using the word investment, you can't use that word unless there's some risk involved in every single investment, like whether or not there's some investments are safer than others. But if you have to understand that there's the possibility that that money that you put in that investment could be gone. So an investment is not necessarily a guarantee that, okay, because I bought an apartment complex, I'm going to make $3,000 a month on rent. And sometimes, no, sometimes you bought that apartment complex, but the foundation sucks and the roof is leaking and then you can't get a tenant or your tenant does damage, you know? So it's all sorts of things where like your investments can fall through. So that's why I think it's so important to keep that. And that's why I wanted to stress the emergency fund thing first, because it's important to keep them separate, because it lets you be more, you can be, take bigger risk and get more money actually in the long run and make more, earn more by keeping it separate, because you don't have to, like, you can make a riskier play, like say something that might make you 20% on your money if you're playing with money that you can't afford to lose, versus like you have to be scared of the money because you can't afford to lose it. You might actually make less on it, because even like just the mental, when you're investing in the stock market, it's such a mental thing where you might see it go down and you panic, like, and then it goes right back up. If you have to keep an eye on it like that, you shouldn't be putting the money in certain investments. So I think that's a really good question. And the answer is do not mix like your investment money with anything else. If you need that money for absolutely anything else, may it be like rent, food. If you put it into an investment and you think of it as gone, and that's fine with you, although it might not be, but if the possibility like is can sit well with you and you won't be financially ruined, that's a smart investment. Otherwise, don't use that money. Use it for something else and it will long-term pay better dividends. Like whether that be like using it to pay down debt, even if you use it to go out for drinks, that'd be smarter money than like putting it that way, I would say. That's my advice.
So while still on the topic of investment, I wanted to ask, like, what books or what advice would you give somebody that's trying to get into the whole investment world? Let me say. Personally, I'm trying to get into, you know, the whole cryptocurrency or stock investment thing, but I've read up on a few articles and maybe a couple of books on it, but I still don't know where to start. So, and I guess there's a lot of people out there like me. So what advice would you give the likes of myself, you know, like what books would you recommend that would probably give you a better guide on, you know, the whole investment thing?
I'm glad you asked, because I actually had a list that I meant to give of books. So for me, and there have been a lot of recommended books that I read and basically I got nothing out of. But this list is basically not just, some of the books on here are like often recommended, but I read them and they actually had great advice for me. So I would say the first one is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is like basically a classic in this space. Yeah. That one will really get you started right on, in terms of especially your mindset and like overall framework. It's going to give you, it's going to be if there's one book that you read to get into this, like personal finance and like wealth building, and that's wealth building in general, I think Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a great place to start, because of the way he breaks it down in really easy digestible sections. And he gives you reasons why everything, he doesn't ever say anything and just leave it floating, like just do this, do that. It's always explained, and he has like personal anecdotes that tie it back to reality. So it's really relatable and really easy to read. It's an easy read. It's not even a long book, but it has a really good condensed intro. So I would say that's my favorite book that I've read out of the whole set of like commonly recommended books, because it won't give you teach you how to turn $100 into $100,000. That's not what it's going to do, but it's going to give you the framework to go learn other ways. So that's number one. The other one I would say is The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, who was actually Warren Buffett's mentor. It's also really good for like getting you into the mindset of investing. And I think the main value takeaway from that book is what not to do. It lays out a lot of the mistakes that a lot of, like, 9 out of 10 traders lose money. And he lays out a lot of the reasons for that. And I'm going to tell you, after you read the book, you're still going to make some of the mistakes. I know I did. I still, like, even knowing that it's, you shouldn't do it, it's so attractive sometimes to because it's like, it's based on human nature. So but at least after reading the book, when it probably will only burn you once. Like, you do it and you're like, oh, I know I shouldn't have done that. And then you get burned and you're like, yep, not doing that again. Because some things are like that, where, like, you can get all the advice in the world, but until you kind of, like, who cannot hear must feel, is like, that's what St. Lucia's saying. If you can't hear, you must feel. So sometimes you have to feel a little bit of the pain, but at least that way, like, this way, like, you have a framework for, like, understanding. At least you know what your mistakes might be. So Rich Dad Poor Dad, The Intelligent Investor. I like The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. And that one is more about, like, getting you into the mindset of, like, what are you really, like, why are you making money? Like, why do you want money? What ways to make money that don't involve your time? Because you're never going to get rich selling your time. That's one thing, like, that book stresses. The only way you're going to, like, actually have financial freedom, if that's what you're after, and not everyone is after that, but if that's what you're after, is, like, being able to have income independent of whether or not you work today, that book is a good way to get started on, like, ways to work towards that. In terms of, I would say stay away from any and all books that are, like, trying to teach you any sort of trading strategy, because when I was building my coding algorithmic trading platform, I tested, like, literally hundreds of strategies from books, and almost all of them failed. So the problem is that, like, the stock market is so variable and things change so quickly in the world that, like, something that worked even yesterday might not work today. And a lot of the books that try to teach you specific, like, strategies, like, okay, if Apple does this, do that, those books fall flat because Apple does this time it doesn't do that. So those books I would say stay away from. I can't think of any other, like, technical books that I would recommend, but if you read those and get into the, browse Reddit. Like, Reddit is a really good r/investing is a good resource for me. They have like a lot of, like, little gems. Don't go to Wall Street Bets. r/Wall Street Bets. Stay away from Wall Street Bets if you're trying to make money. The crypto thing, I personally, like, that's where most of my investments are. However, like, I'm really, really, really hesitant to talk about it in this regard, just because it's such a minefield. Like, for a beginner, like, there's so many, especially if you're someone who's trying to make a lot of money quickly, there's so many traps for you, like, where you could lose money. So you more like, I feel like it would be reckless of me to try to give advice to someone in the cryptocurrency space, even though, like, that's where I make most of my money. I'm hesitant to talk about it without, like, going into detail about it, just because it's such a risky space right now. But I definitely do believe in crypto, and I learned a lot of my stuff, Malik, to answer your question. I learned a lot of my stuff on crypto from YouTube. There's this guy called Alex Becker. There's a few others I can't think of right now, but Alex Becker is the one I listen to most on YouTube for crypto investment advice. Now, he really gives good advice, but it's very, very, very specific. It's more about, like, gaming related crypto and NFTs. I don't know if that means anything to you, Malik, but that's what he talks about. But it works for me. Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of, like, advertisement on, like, is it Bitcoin mm-hmm. on where you learn why you're learning and answering questions, and then you earn coins?
On Coinbase. That's on Coinbase. Coinbase has that system. You can earn, like, $20 or so. I say do it. There's nothing to lose. You open the account, you mm-hmm. learn about crypto, and they give you some free coins. Like, I say go for it. Mm-hmm. That's one thing, though. If you live in New York, you don't have access to this, but there's certain countries, unfortunately, like, you don't have access to this, but there's there's a card called crypto. There's a crypto.com card, and it works like a credit card. However, every single purchase you make, you get, I think it's 1.5% back in Bitcoin. So that's one way to start. Like, it's a risk-free way to start getting invested in crypto, because that's free money. If, like, whenever you spend, use the card, they give you Bitcoin. So if you're interested in crypto,
working in New York of all places,
let me tell you, without at the risk of talking too much about like getting you guys shadow banned, but obviously New York City is the capital of the traditional financial system. That's where Wall Street is, all that, and Wall Street doesn't want you making free money from Bitcoin and not having to go through them and all the other financial, Goldman Sachs, Chase Bank, all the major players in the banking industry are based in New York City, and they have a lot of pull with legislation. So they're able to get a lot of like crypto suppressed because it's so revolutionary. It takes the power out of their hands and puts it into your hands. So actually touching on that, like there's a lot of things that crypto is one way to do this, but there's other ways to do it without crypto where you can, this is another way to make money, an investment that's low risk, but high reward. It's peer-to-peer lending. So there's a few peer-to-peer lending platforms. And what peer-to-peer lending means, it's like, instead of going to a bank and giving them your money and getting and not getting any interest on it or barely any, or like them telling you, yay, 9%, I mean, 1% interest, yay. It takes the bank out of the equation and lets the community be the bank. So it's all handled like by like apps and algorithms and stuff, but basically it lets you make the money that the bank would have made. So the same way the bank makes money charging interest, you get a split of that by giving them money. So that's something to look into if you want, if you're more interested. It's a huge topic, but if you just do a little bit of research on peer-to-peer lending and start there, that's a good alternative for like putting some of your savings can be put into that. It's relatively safe. Obviously, the same way that banks make money, even though sometimes people don't pay back their loans, it works pretty much the same way. Even though sometimes people don't pay back the loans, you're not like taking any individual loan yourself. It's all spread out in the community. So basically, lets us be our own banks, which I think is so, so, so important for the Black community, African community, underrepresented minorities in general. That's one of the main ways that the power systems have used to keep us from being financially free is practices such as like redlining, which is denying loans, investment loans. They will not give you a loan to buy a apartment complex, but they will give you that loan for the Mercedes though, because, you know, things like that. So business loans, you can get business loans and stuff like that through peer-to-peer lending. And that solves a lot of the problems that our community has, where we sometimes have a great business idea, but we can't get any funding. So I think crypto solves a lot of that, because there's ways like crypto incorporates a lot of that. But yeah, that's that. But we're coming to pretty much the end. I think I just wanted to answer your Roth IRA question quickly, because I think that's one that is important, especially if you're in the US. So I think, how do I put this? So basically the difference between a 401k and a Roth IRA is basically it comes down to when you are taxed. So it gets really complicated, because you can be in a certain tax bracket now when you're earning the money. But if you expect to be, like, let's say you're only earning $20,000 a year now, but you expect by the time you retire and want to pull out your money from the Roth IRA, you might be making like $800,000, whatever it might be, but you might be in like a different tax bracket. That comes into the calculations as well. So it's hard to say for any individual whether or not a 401k or a Roth IRA is better. But right now, a lot of people are leaning more towards the Roth IRA. Just because it's, you get to pull the money out at the end. You don't have to pay taxes on it when you finally pull it out, versus, so it's after tax income versus before tax income. So the Roth IRA, I believe, is after tax. So you already paid the tax on it. So when you pull it out, you don't have to pay. But the 401k is the opposite, where you're not paying tax on it. So when you pull it out, you have to pay taxes on it. So that's like the main differences. So for some people, it's going to make more sense to have a traditional 401k because they rather have the money in their pockets now, like more money now than, because it's like usually like it's deducted from your directly deducted from your salary. So you might see like a higher check, like day to day, if you're using a 401k versus a Roth IRA, but then later on, you don't get as much money out. So it's like, it's again, it's coming back to that, like now versus the future. So I have more money now. Yeah. You had a question.
So I was doing a quick thing. Is the credit card you were talking about for the, just to dial it back real quick, was it called BlockFi?
Yeah, BlockFi.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure because I was looking it up. And I was like, just in case anybody was curious listening.
Right. So yeah, get that BlockFi card if you can. I would have one if I wasn't in New York, but yeah. So the other things are like getting assets. So investing is not only like the stock market is not the only way to invest. You can also get assets like real estate, which is again another whole other topic. But think about real estate. I think investing, if you're just starting out with investing, and you want to play the stock market, you should look into mutual funds and ETFs. And that will give you like a steady, usually on average, like 8 to 9% a year. Whereas like just the S&P 500, which is like the index for the entire stock market, usually on average is provided like about 7% returns. So, and those are like, those have been steady for like years going back. 50, 60, 70 plus years, that is really over time. So when you think about like your retirement, by the time you retire, if you want to have a chunk of change, those are like safer ways to play it, because there's a saying that like what's more important is not trying to time the market. So not timing the market, but the time in the market. So having your money in for a long time safely is a surer bet to make a lot of money than trying to get the right trade every single time, like try to buy every single right company. And for beginners, mutual funds and index funds makes it easy to invest in a broad range of companies. So it mitigates a risk. So instead of buying just Pepsi and Pepsi tanks, you're buying like a swath of companies. So even if one of them tanks, you don't lose all of your money that way. So it's like a way to kind of play the system without taking on as much risk, you know. But I think the only other thing after that, the last pillar, is like protecting the wealth that you've built. So that means, like I was saying, like not trying to lose all your money in one go. Don't go gambling, quote unquote, literally or figuratively gambling away your money after you've taken time to build up a nice little nest egg. That also means getting insurance. Get insurance. I would say, coming back to the car thing, get the extended warranty if you're going to get a BMW or any of those, especially if you're going to get a luxury car or even any car. I would recommend getting the extended warranty. And get that Apple Care. Get those things that protect your money. Insurance makes money, but I've done the calculations. It's actually, I guess that's another book that's good. What's the name of it? I'll think of it in a second, but there's a book that talks about like the psychology of investing and like things that might not make sense. Like it sounds wrong, but when you work out the statistics and the numbers, it's actually right. So one of them is like buying insurance on almost everything. It's like a win-win. The insurance company makes money because on aggregate, most people don't make a claim. But if you happen to be the unlucky one that needs a claim, you obviously benefit from that. So just to recap really quickly, once you think about how you're going to earn your money, like that includes side hustles, your career advancement, everything like that, then you budget, you figure out how you're going to spend it. So that's budgeting, but not just budgeting for expenses and needs, also budgeting for your entertainment and leisure activities, maybe even luxury. travel, whatever is important to you, make sure you include that in your budget, because it's gonna be important to have that. Think about your borrowing. So that's good debt and bad debt. Remember, good debt is for something that you expect to make net you money in the long term, so assets, and bad debt is for liabilities. And pay down your high interest debts and credit card debt before you think about doing anything else. Then you save. Then you think about your saving and investments. So once you start saving, first set up your emergency fund. That's gonna free up not just your mentally, but like the rest of your cash is gonna be free to invest more aggressively if that's what you want to do. And you can end up making more money in the long term, and you're protected, just because you never know what happens. Look at the pandemic. Like, who knew this was gonna happen, and who knows what's coming next? So if you can have a little bit of money, I would recommend also, if you can, like getting a little bit of physical gold and silver, that's a good idea. And then once you've done all this work to build up your fortune, make sure you're protecting it, make sure you're getting insurance, make sure you're monitoring your identity and all of that. So that's basically as much as I think my brain can get dish out for now. I would be glad to answer any questions. But I hope that was like a thorough overview, because there's just so much to it that it's impossible to get to in one day. But I hope that was useful.
I've literally been doing everything as you've been saying it. I'll write down notes. I'm signing off a BlockFi right now. I'm literally doing everything as you're talking.
I love that. Love that.
Seriously, you've taught us so much, and I do really want to thank you for like sharing your knowledge, because there's a lot of like these small things that I could never really put like a connection to, but like now just sitting down and listening kind of makes me more curious. So yeah, hopefully in the future we'll be able to, you know, collaborate with you or come to your platforms, support you. And by the way, do you have like any platform where people can find you? Do you have any business going on? I know you talked about your algorithm, which I don't understand because I'm not good with computers, but like I'm curious to know more about that.
Right. So right now, in terms of platform, I did start a podcast with my best friend growing up called Rising Adults. And the whole premise is to teach people things like this. Basically, we thought like there's so many things that we wish someone would have just told us. We wish they would have been taught in schools. We wish that, because it's simple things that we could know. So, for example, like how to go about vetting an apartment, how to get a best deal on an apartment, how to buy your first car, how to cook a steak, like simple things, like how to do your taxes, you know, the common things that come up where it's like, why don't we learn this in school instead of like Pythagoras or quadratic equations? But so that's the basis of the platform. It's called Rising Adults. We're on Instagram at Rising Adults, and we're on YouTube, Rising Adults. But it's basically in its infancy. We have a few episodes out. We want to get more consistent with it, but we have a few, I think, episodes out there on like starting a business and all of that. So you could hit that up. My other business is obviously a secret. I have an e-commerce business. So I sell a lot of products online, and I have a marketing agency that's going on. So that's how I know all the tricks that they use to make us spend money that we don't need, because that's what I do to other people. But let's do that alone.
What?
I'm part of the problem. I'll admit it. I'm a part of the problem, but I try to give back.
You take it being looted to stop buying parts.
I only sell useful things, though. Honestly, I only sell things that actually improve lives and make things easier, but it's not necessarily things you need, if I'm being honest. But, you know.
So Malik, as we already at the end, is there anything you want to add on your own experience, anything you've learned today that you would like to highlight, just like the last minute thoughts?
Well, I've learned quite a lot, but I feel like I have more questions than answers, to be honest.
That's good.
Especially regarding the whole investment part, because it's something that I've very much wanted to get into. You spoke of NFTs as well. And I guess you also know about the metaverse and how people are literally sending, they're selling, is it
virtual real estate? Land. Yeah.
Yeah, virtual land and whatnot. like millions of dollars. So I guess it's not something that you can answer in a day. It's something that would also need some work from my side, yeah? But I feel like I might need to reach out to you a couple of times before I'm comfortable with everything that I've learned today.
No problem at all. And I think if there's ever a need to go in depth in one of these topics, so like let's say like this episode, we try to go on like overall, like a A to Z of personal finances, like at least an overview. But if there's any one of these five pillars that, you know, would you decide, I think investing in particular is one that could have its own episodes. If y'all ever want me, come back. I'm just saying, I'm willing. I'll be all right.
The door is always open for you. Come on.
Yeah, I could do a more, I could do a more in-depth explanation of like all the different facets of investing and crypto, specifically NFTs. Like that's something I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. Is NFTs and crypto right now. So I could talk for like probably 3 hours about that easily. So
sure. Well, that was too much. I think we too much, but yet too little. Definitely we're gonna have you back on and a lot of collaboration in the future. You say you have a podcast, so we can do something together. So speaking on behalf of the four of us. Amy, definitely. But Amy will be fine as long as you convince him, he'll be fine. He'll listen to you more than he'll listen to us. But we did go over a lot of stuff which are really important. And once again, I thank our viewers and our listeners who brought up this idea that we should talk about finances. So just a little recap, what we went through was about like investment, good versus bad debt, and how to prioritize your saving, starting with your like the needs, including shelters, your transport to go to work. Those are the things that are mandatory that you always look into. There's a lot, listen throughout this episode because there's a lot to even just summarize. But I really want to take this time to thank you, Janelle, once again for your time. And we look forward to more collaboration. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to go to your page. I wrote it down, Rising Adults Podcast.
I'll also go to my Instagram, my actual Instagram. I like my last picture. No, I'm done.
Shout out to Janelle. People need to know. We do follow him on our page. So if you know the social media, just go look for people that we follow and then you'll find him.
Benny, thank you so much. On that subject, make sure you guys follow us on our social media accounts. On Instagram is official_NextStopAfrica. On Twitter, it is _NextStopAfrica. And on YouTube, it's just Next Stop Africa. And make sure to check out our website, which is nextstopafrica.net. And you can watch, hear, and hear everything you need to about this podcast.
All right. Thank you so much, Wooden, for that. And now, our favorite part, which is the song of the day. And we're going to let Janelle do the honor of choosing the song of the day today. So, Janelle.
Sure. Sure. So the song, my song choice is called Plenty Loving, and that's by Pilot 758. You can find it on all platforms. It's a St. Lucian song. If you have your little boo, you hug up your boo and you listen to that, and you're good.
It's cold this time. Yes, we need that.
Yes, any of you listening, this is a good one for you.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So, right, please make sure that you tune in our next episode, which is to be determined. We're working on a lot of guests, so just stay tuned until next time. Bye-bye. Absolutely.